Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. And yes, the Orioles finally won a game on Thursday night. But I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the future. That pink tuxedo, all the mocks to the Ravens at the safety position. And dude, we spend a lot of oxygen. I mean, these games happen every week once they start to happen. This offseason happens slow. So three and a half months of who are they drafting? What are they doing? We're still on the board with Mark Andrews, Justin Tucker. They're going to draft a kicker, all of that. Luke was up all night out in Owings Mills, watching the war room and spending time. It was, you know, so what happens when they're good? They draft at like 11:15 at night. Thoughts and defense, 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 and everything we thought about Kyle Hamilton and what they really want to do defensively. They kind of went all in on that Thursday night.
Yeah, I think when you're picking as late as the Ravens typically are, you can talk about, I don't know, a dozen players that you think hypothetically could go to them, and how many of those guys over the years are picked 12, 12, 13, 14, 15 picks before they're even on the board, where you spend a lot of time talking about them, but they never had any kind of realistic shot. Malachi Starks was the name that kept coming up over and over and over and over. Not to say that they didn't have other needs, not to say there weren't other players they would have taken 27th and been happy with, but he was the one that just felt like a very logical addition for the Ravens to make. Was safety their biggest need? We can debate what their biggest need was. I mean, they're still going to need to add to their defensive line, to their offensive line. I think corner is still very much in play over these next couple rounds, but I think universally, anyone who's watched this Ravens defense play really for close to a decade now, when they've been at their best, they've had the flexibility to play three safeties on the field. And that's come into sharper focus when Kyle Hamilton was drafted, knowing what kind of weapon he is, knowing what kind of Swiss Army knife he is, that he can really line up at any of the three levels on the defense, at any of six or seven different positions, depending on how the offensive personnel is matching up. And you wanted that freedom. Well, they lost that halfway through last year because Marcus Williams was a disaster. Eddie Jackson was a disaster. And they got to a point where they said, all right, we'll put Ardarius Washington on the field with Hamilton, but we need these guys to play a little more split safety. We need Hamilton to play a little more split safety. It worked out well. Hamilton did a fantastic job in that role. However, you don't want to pigeonhole a player like Kyle Hamilton into that role where he can't play all over on any given play. So that's why it was such a logical conclusion to say, all right, whether it was Malachi Starks, whether it was the kid from South Carolina, Nick Emenwuori, who's still on the board, he'll probably be one of the first players to go Friday night in the second round. But it was just such an easy fit. A 3-year starter at Georgia. A guy that Eric DaCosta unprovoked described as having one of the best combine interviews they've ever had over the years. When someone goes out of their way to say that right away, it tells you what they think about him. So he's smart. He's considered a high character guy, very productive, very good. I think this was just such an easy pick to the point where DaCosta acknowledged some nervous feelings because there was so much chatter out there, so many mock drafts linking the Ravens to Malachi Starks that you're wondering if he's going to be there. Because in their mind, he wasn't the 27th best player. He was much higher than that. So I think this worked out very well for the Ravens. And again, there could have been some other players that could have been the pick at 27, especially if Starks had gone earlier. But I think they're really, really happy with what they came away with. And I think just understanding where they're going at the safety position, knowing that Kyle Hamilton at some point here over the next calendar year plus is going to become the highest paid player on the team, not named Lamar Jackson. And also understanding Ardarius Washington as well as he played. He's in a contract year, as a restricted free agent. He's slight of stature. He has an injury history. So you wanted to take another safety that you feel really good about, that will be on a rookie contract for the next 4 to 5 years and is also going to give you the production and the flexibility that you can get Kyle Hamilton back into that role where he can line up just about anywhere. So I think they're really pleased with what they came away with. And the pundits love this because they were the ones mocking Malachi Starks to the Ravens to begin with.
For the defense and for Nate Wiggins last year and what they're trying to build defensively over there, it kind of speaks volumes to me that Flowers can play, likely can play. Obviously, Lamar and Derrick Henry in the backfield and where they are, that they've invested in all of that. I still think the offensive line's an issue. They have drafted a first round pick as a center, a second round pick as a right tackle. You had him maybe even floating over to left tackle at some point, and that's still, that's up to them. But I would think they're going to go to the offensive line next, and I think defensively, for all the things that they wanted to do, very, very telling that the last half of the season they had to undo what they did with Kyle Hamilton, that fixing that makes them a lot more dangerous defensively because they've been a dangerous defensive team. Even when they've been good the last couple of years, I don't think it's all been Lamar, 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 Lamar. They're going to run the ball, move the ball, move the ball. And it's not we forget the defense. Eric draft traded for Roquan Smith on the trading deadline, right? And got the kind of player that they can't get on the Thursday night in April. That you can't get Roquan Smith with the 27th pick, right? So they've augmented, but defensively, it says to me they didn't think their defense was good enough.
Well, I mean, it wasn't good enough in the first half of the season, and they fixed that, and their defense absolutely was good enough down the stretch. I mean, go look at the numbers. They, over the last 6, 7 weeks of the season, they had the best defense in the league statistically, or was certainly right there. You know, a Coke or Pepsi kind of scenario with maybe one or two, three other defenses. So they had that fixed. But again, when you're talking in terms of how can you make it the most dynamic it can be, that's having Kyle Hamilton all over the place. That's not saying we need Kyle Hamilton to be a deep safety for 35 snaps a game. And they still moved him around. It's not as though he was there every single play. But if you noticed, as well as he played, you didn't see the same splash plays from him because he had more of that deep safety responsibility on his plate. So I think that's where you look at this and say, all right, you fixed it the second half of last year, but how can you optimize it again? And it's getting Hamilton back to a role where, on any given play, yeah, he's still going to play some deep safety, but he can play in the box. He can line up on the edge and blitz. He's going to play the run like a linebacker. He can play nickel. I mean, he can. We've seen it. He can do it all. I mean, that's why he's one of the very best defensive players in football. So you wanted to have the proper amount of flexibility to put him back in that kind of a role. And it doesn't mean they don't like Ardarius Washington, but Malachi Starks is someone who is going to be cost controlled and someone they're confident is going to be playing at a high level. Is he going to be the next Ed Reed or Kyle Hamilton? You don't predict that for anybody, right? I mean, that's you can say it way better than I can. Back in 2002, the Ravens were kind of underwhelmed when they drafted Ed Reed. I mean, he wasn't 10th on their board. He was exactly where they picked him. And he ended up being the greatest safety in the history of the league. So you never know for sure, but this just gives them a chance to be more flexible, more malleable on the back end of the defense. You're in a position now where, I think they could still stand to take another corner, because, I think the depth there behind Marlon Humphrey and Wiggins is still questionable. I mean, they brought in Awuzie, who has played at a high level when he's been healthy, but off injured. Some of the other guys they've had, like Jalen Armour-Davis, can't stay on the field. So I think they could still use another outside corner at some point here over the next couple rounds. But their defense on the back end, and let's face it, for as much as pass rush is talked about on a yearly basis, we know that the Ravens have really prioritized their secondary over the last decade. Since years ago, when guys like me were pointing out, like, hey, you're not drafting enough corners. Hey, your safeties aren't good enough. Over the last decade, they've pivoted and they've made that a priority. And I think they'd tell you, all things being equal, yeah, they want dynamic players at every level. And, they've got Nnamdi Matabike, they've got Roquan Smith at the second level. But they'd tell you that, and DaCosta even said it on Thursday night. There's not a quicker way to be beaten than having a bad secondary. And we saw that over the first half of the season last year when Marcus Williams wasn't playing like a $17 million safety anymore. By any stretch. Wasn't playing like a $3 million safety. That's why he got benched. So I think that's where you looked at this spot and said, okay, yeah, you can talk about edge. They absolutely need to add some interior defensive linemen. They have three on the roster right now. They certainly need to add to their offensive line, but that's why I thought, and I even wrote about it a couple days ago, that safety to me was still a sweet spot, thinking that whether it was Starks, whether it was Emanuori, whether it was even a safety on day two, I think, and DaCosta even talked about that. There's still some really good safeties on this board for where they're going to go, but they're happy to get the absolute best one in their mind. So, big school, played on a national championship team a couple years ago. I mean, Georgia is a perennial powerhouse. It's considered a high character guy. I mean, he checks all the boxes they want. And yes, as you would expect, he's one of the red star prospects that were on the board, as you'd expect, and as you'd want out of a first round pick, quite frankly. So, all of those things, it checks all those boxes, and again, it puts them in a position where they can move Hamilton around. And oh yeah, Starks himself is a versatile player, and on any given snap is going to move around as well. So just gives you that much flexibility where you have three safeties on the field in various sub packages. And the quarterback pre-snap isn't necessarily going to know where all three of them are lining up and what their responsibilities are, which that's part of the whole thing of defense. Yeah, you need athletes, you need guys who can be playmakers, but that deception, that making a quarterback doubt himself, making the quarterback hold the ball an extra half second, that's so huge. And when the Ravens have had what they've needed at the safety position and in the secondary in general, they've been much more dangerous. We saw that 2 years ago when what they led the league in points, they led the league, sacks and takeaways. I mean, kind of the triple crown. They wanted to be able to get back to that, and I think they believe that Malachi Starks is going to be a big step in the right direction in doing that.
Luke Jones is here. He will be monitoring all things draft day two, day three. You'll be getting the WNST text courtesy of our friends at Cole Roofing. I want to give a shout out to my friends at Coppin, who took me down to 125 on Thursday night. I'll be drinking out of my Coppin mug here, and we're going to be getting some more Coppin guests on as well. So I want to make sure I give them a little bit of love as they go into the weekend with the gala. The rest of the draft and how many picks they have, and the obvious of Mark Andrews could happen at any minute. Justin Tucker could be jettisoned at any minute if they pick a kicker. I would think that's a Saturday thing, Saturday morning, afternoon thing. So if you're out there on the text service, you got all that going on. The other weak spots, I mean, safety's very obvious, right? Like we talked about it a ton. I will still beat the band for left tackle at some point, and they would say, we have a $20 million left tackle. That's not an acute need. The acute need was like, let's get Kyle Hamilton back up on the line of scrimmage and let's get him moving around. And I think the other complementary part of that would be weak side linebacker, where's your pass rush? And to your point, you have three defensive linemen right now. I would expect that they're going to go back to that even before they go looking for the next Kevin Zeitler or next Marshall Yanda, hopefully, or whatever they're going to do on the offensive line. But it does feel like, to me, if you're going to fortify the defense, they've got to have a better pass rusher and they've got to have better play out of the linebackers, which includes Roquan Smith based on the amount of money they gave him, which you were uncomfortable with from the beginning, but very much so when Patrick Queen disappeared, that we saw a different kind of defense. The Hamilton Marcus Williams thing last year wasn't the only problem they had defensively.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that when you have three safety alignments, it can alleviate the need to have two linebackers on the field in obvious passing situations. Now, early down, I mean, you're still going to need another linebacker to play, so that factors into that piece of it. But you're right, and you look at some of these spots. I kept coming back to safety because I look at how the Ravens have wanted to play in recent years. They've wanted to use three safety looks a lot. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have some nickel alignments where there are three corners. I mean, I think they're going to play dime more. A dime had kind of disappeared last year again because you didn't have three safeties that you felt
Yeah, they didn't
confident
have the
enough in.
personnel at all to play
Yeah.
dime,
So you
right?
got to the point where when you were playing dime, you were at a point where they were using four corners instead of three safeties and three corners, and obviously one of those corners being a nickel. They've kind of taken care of that now. So we can kind of cross that off the list. But you look at the rest of the defense. You mentioned edge rusher. That's clearly a need. Yes, on paper, it still looks okay with Kyle Van Noy and Adafe Owe both being double-digit sack guys last year, but Kyle Van Noy's 34. Is he
Well,
going to
they
do that
always go to
again?
that, right? That was the
Yeah.
Belichick thing. When I hang up my buddy Chad Brown, those kinds of players that they bring in, and that, goes back to the big Samoan dude that they brought in the middle of the season from Cincinnati, Pekka Demata-Peka,
Omotapeka, yeah.
right? I mean, they've tried the linebacker here that went to Maryland, two different times, right? I mean, just they'll go to the scrap heap and get some 31-year-old version of Kyle Van Noy. That's the way they think, I think, right? I mean, much more so than we're going to go in on another Adafi Owe and hope that in year four he could be a 10 sack guy. I think there needs more acute than that they would look to the market for that.
Yeah, I mean, look, and they can do both. I mean, really, and they're going to kind of have to because Van Noy's 34. Adafi Owe's in his fifth year option season. And you don't get the sense that Owe is someone that they want to marry long term. So that doesn't mean they're going to trade him now, but I think that means you want to kind of identify over these next couple rounds someone that can be his replacement. And maybe he's on the maybe he's on the roster. I think the David Ajabo ship has sailed in terms of him being that kind of guy. But you have Adisa Isaac who you drafted last year. Tavius Robinson took a nice step forward last year, so the cupboard isn't bare, but they need more there. There's no doubt about it. So you have that. As I mentioned, they only have three interior defensive linemen on the roster right now. Now it's three. It's Madubuike, Broderick Washington, and Travis Jones. So they're three guys that can play to varying degrees, but you certainly need more with Michael Pierce having retired and Brent Urban not re-signed to this point in time. So those are very clear needs. As far as weak side linebacker, which you talked about, I think it's really a case where you need Trenton Simpson to figure it out, at least to the point where you trust him for early downs. And then if he's off the field when it's second and long, if he's off the field on third down because you're going to dime, I think that's fine. They've done that before. They did that when Chuck Clark was the guy that would drop into the box on third down and play. They'd play a lot of dime. So again, that's why I think the Starks pick. It's another way to work around some other problems because you can use Hamilton and whatever you want to call it, robber role, hero role, whatever. I mean, that role where he doesn't really have a position. He's playing five or six different positions on any different snap.
The name of that position's been called Eagle. It's been called all sorts of things,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, especially in college, right? I mean, every team that has a player that resembles something like Kyle Hamilton, and I don't want to say that every team has it because every team doesn't have
Well, it's
that
a
guy,
little bit of a
but
Lawrence Taylor role, kind of,
I
sort
mean,
of, really.
it's when you're talking about a dynamic player who can do multiple things. That's why I said drafting Starks was such a nice thing to do because it allows Kyle Hamilton. I mean, it just opens things up for Zach Orr to deploy him in so many different ways.
Well, it's
Because,
also a body
great.
type when you want to play a little heavier than
Oh
having
yeah.
four defensive back, real corners, little guys out there.
Yeah. And well, I mean, he can line up on the edge and rush a passer on occasion. I mean, he's a really good blitzer. He's great against the run. I mean, he does everything for you. But, those other defensive spots I think are obvious. And look, you mentioned left tackle. They need a third tackle. I mean, Patrick McCary had been their third tackle in recent years, and he's no longer here. So, there's been some talk about someone like a George Fant coming in. But man, if you could nab someone in these middle rounds that one can be in the conversation as a starting guard for the time being, but maybe projects out over the next couple of years that he could be a tackle, maybe a left tackle. Again, you're not banking on that, and you paid Ronnie Stanley. You're hoping he's going to stay healthy, but let's also be realistic. Is Ronnie Stanley going to play all 17 games for the second straight year for the second time in his career?
Or
Probably
next year, or the
not.
year after that, which
Yeah,
they're paying
probably
him
not.
handsomely against the cap, right? They gave him the
Yeah.
kind of deal that didn't feel like a 1 year deal. It felt more
At
like
least a 2-year deal.
two, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a 3-year deal, but really, when you look at how the money play shakes out, it's a 2-year deal. So, and look, that doesn't mean that they must draft a tackle in the second round now, but it's certainly something you need to be thinking about. But even if it's not a tackle, if it's just someone you say, hey, this guy is going to compete with Andrew Voorhees for the left guard job, or he's going to compete with Daniel Faalele for the right guard job. Let's face it, they made guard work last year, but They didn't have Ben Grubbs and Marshall Yanda lining
Yeah,
up
they was
there
number
either.
21 and
Yeah,
22 on the depth chart. It
exactly,
really
exactly.
was.
Which again, now in fairness, and this is where I'll stick up for Falele or I'll stick up for Voorhees. That doesn't mean they can't get better, with another offseason,
They
another
didn't
year of
drop the ball
experience.
with Mark Andrews. I mean, you know what I mean? They
No
did everything
question.
they needed to do to
It was
win.
good enough
It was
to
good
win,
enough,
right? There
right?
was nothing about their offensive line, even though we thought it, even though you and I talked about it a lot, but
And worried about it a
the
lot.
body of work suggested that offensive line was indeed good enough for them to at least get to the AFC Championship. Now, maybe they get to to Kansas City and Chris Jones wrecks them then. I mean, who knows? But they at least had gotten to that point with their offensive line being pretty highly regarded as a unit. But with McCary gone and with knowing his versatility is gone, yeah, you need to add a piece or two to that offensive line, whether it's a guard or whether it's a swing tackle or both. I mean, it might be a position that they double dip, and we see them take one in the second or third round, and then they take one in the fourth or fifth round. I mean, I easily could see that. I think you predicted that a few weeks back, saying they'll draft multiple offensive linemen. So you have that. I mean, the nice thing about offense, their offense right now. Quarterback set, especially with Cooper Rush behind Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's the best backup quarterback situation you've had in quite some time, maybe going back to RG3 or before that even. So running back is set. Even if Derrick Henry's only under contract this year, you still have Justice Hill. You have Keaton Mitchell another year removed from the knee injury. So I think running back, could you take one in the sixth round that you like and maybe you develop? Sure. Is that a pressing need? No, not a, even a little bit. But wide receivers mostly set. Tight end is set for this year, we think. If Mark Andrews is traded, then maybe you draft a tight end at some point in the middle rounds. But point is, I think they very clearly have some positions that are kind of the no-brainers to address: offensive line, defensive line. I still think a corner. When I say defensive line, more specifically edge rusher or interior defensive line. And yeah, kicker. I mean, they have 4 6-round picks. Not saying they won't draft a kicker before then, but yeah, that kind of feels like the logical spot to, if you're drafting a kicker, if you're preparing to think you're going to be moving on from Justin Tucker, that's kind of where you need to do it. If not, you're talking about an undrafted and it's not unheard of. I mean, Justin Tucker was undrafted once upon a
Hey, I
time,
would say
but
this: whoever the kicker they like is, whoever they think the best kicker is, if they're going to take a kicker, better take it earlier than later, because they
I
don't like
mean,
it the second
and it might
best
be the
kicker or the
fifth.
third
It
best
might be,
kicker.
I mean, it all depends, right? If you love,
I'm
you
just
might
saying
love,
it out loud. I mean, they don't
it's
draft
fair.
kickers much, to your point. So I don't know what their philosophy would be on that. And they took Stout a couple years ago, but like,
Yeah, they've, they,
especially as. Wherever they are, and again, I spent last week and I ran the piece again before the draft on Thursday, opining that if you're willing to sign Ben Cleveland 3 weeks after the DUI and zero tolerance is a joke, which it is, he's still on the roster and he's going to kick in the league. Are they going to get a better kicker than Justin Tucker in the fourth round or fifth round? And that would be the real question: is if some Al Davis-ish happens and. If at the end of the third round on Friday night, somebody takes a kicker and they're like, oh no, like we didn't get our guy. I don't think John Harbaugh is a special teams guy at heart, right? He don't want the second best kicker and jettison. Look, none of them really want to jettison Tucker, I don't think, right? I think in their heart of hearts, they're looking to sweep this under the rug and keep him around. He's still here. So to our point, if they wanted to get rid of him, they've had every opportunity to just say, we don't think you're good enough anymore, and we don't want the trouble that comes along with you, and God bless you. I think they're way more Tammy Wynette with him, and then maybe we know. We're going to find out. We really are going to find out. But the whole notion of this draft that they're just going to draft a kicker, they've had Justin Tucker here the last 12 years. They're not. They can't have the 20th best kicker. They had that last year, right? Last year, Justin Tucker was a problem. He wasn't a top 10 kicker. He wasn't a top 20 kicker last year. He was a bottom third kicker in the league. Now, whether they believe that is the case or whether it's in his head, it's certainly not in his leg. His leg looked fine. He could still kick the ball 65 yards. Not many of these guys can do that. And not many of these guys have been out there doing it for 15 years. And won't piss down their leg. He's had a long history of not doing that. Now, last year aside and yips and whatever this, the media's out to get me. They're all scumbags. I don't know. He can still be their kicker someday. I still will go with that. And I think it's not as easy as just like you're saying, well, use the sixth round, use the fifth round. Well, if the kicker's the number one kicker and you know you need to move on from Justin Tucker, if you really believe, I don't think they believe that they need to move on from him. And I don't think they, I don't, I think they're moving on from him very wearily if they do, because he's been the best kicker in the history of the game, right? Like, I'm not going to take his side in whatever his crap was, but this is the rubber's going to meet the road here this weekend on this issue, right? I mean, this thing been boiling since the middle of last season when he wasn't very good. If the scandal doesn't happen, they still could be picking a kicker this weekend. I thought. I don't know. He's still under contract, and it's a crapshoot even picking the best kicker if they're like, yeah, the best kicker's 22 years old. He's not going to be better than Justin. So let's hope Gilly misses a couple and none of them cost us a game next year, and that we're ahead by enough in Buffalo that we don't need a 52-yard field goal on a 14-degree night in January, because we're going to wish we had Justin Tucker, and whatever the media makes up about him, we'll worry about that. Just let him go kick. So I don't know. I said a lot there, but take it for what it's worth. I'm not convinced they're absolutely taking a kicker until they do.
Well, and that's fair. I'm not going to argue with you about that. But
They've had plenty
here's
of other criminals on their team,
here's the other
and
element
he's not
of
even
it.
a criminal.
But here's the other element of it that allows for more flexibility with the thought that you're talking about in terms of if you are taking a kicker where they have 11 picks. I don't think they have 11 draft picks that are making a 53-man roster. I mean, that's I think you look at where the roster is right now, it's maybe nine. Right. And that's even given some room for the rookie free agent that inevitably impresses everyone and makes the
And they're
roster
going to
as a special
sign a
teams guy.
veteran in the
But
secondary. They're going to sign a veteran on the O-line. Yeah, they're going
sure.
to sign a veteran pass rusher. There are going to be three guys that are in the market that are on this team. There
But you
are.
look at their inventory of those 11 picks, Nestor, four of them are sixth round picks, and there's a seventh round pick. That sounds like plenty of ammunition that maybe it's your fifth round pick. Maybe it is one of your two fourth round picks, and maybe it's a case where you have intel and you say, and I haven't done my homework on this. My apologies. I cover the Orioles. I'm not going to look at what other teams in the league need a kicker right now. But let's say there's team A and B that are also eyeing a kicker, and they have intel that they like a couple of the kickers that they like, and they've thought maybe the fourth round is when they do it. They're not using a second or a third round pick on a kicker. I don't believe
I don't
that,
think they have a couple of
but
kickers they like. I think they would identify one
there
and
might
say,
be
is he better
one.
than
There
Justin
might be
Tucker?
one, maybe two,
And
maybe two,
finding a
right?
kicker that's better than Justin Tucker this weekend, good luck with that.
But the point is, you can use a couple of those late picks that in the fourth round, they have 129, they're at 129 and 136. You can cobble together a couple of those late picks that are guys that may or may not even make the roster. And then you can move up five spots in the fourth round to go get the guy, jump ahead of the team that you think might like your kicker. And there you go. And you still, you'll still make 9 or 10 picks then rather than 11. But we're going to see, right? I mean, they might not take a kicker. And as I've kind of said, it'll be very telling. It'll be very illuminating. To me, there were two ways this was going to go. They were either going to cut him right away, within the first few days of the initial reporting from the banner, or they were going to let this play out, knowing that the draft was probably going to be the sweet spot of when they would try to have a replacement. Because if it's not drafting him and you're looking at rookie free agents, or you're looking at trading for someone else's kicker, I think there's a greater margin for error
Where's
there.
that kid we sent to Minnesota for the draft pick? Let's bring him back.
Oh, Corey Van Vick, yeah. That was that was a feather in Eric's cap getting what a fifth round pick for him who didn't even he's not even in the league anymore. But we're gonna find out because this is kind of their last best chance. If you are indeed replacing him, this is your last best chance to do it. And look, it's still gonna take some risk, right? I mean, it'll whether you bring in even if you bring in a veteran, even if you bring in someone that people have heard of. There's always some risk when you do that. I mean, Justin Tucker didn't look like Justin Tucker until after the bye week last year, at any point. So, we're going to see, but they have plenty of areas they can address. They have draft capital. It's a lot of late round
Dude, the thing
capital.
about Tucker is thinking this through. If they needed him to make a 42-yard field goal in Buffalo, they were convinced he was going to make it. If they needed him to make a 51-yarder in Kansas City to send them to the Super Bowl the next week, they were convinced he could make it. And if they needed a 63-yard field goal at the Super Bowl with 2 seconds left, they would have a chance to make that kick. And I don't know that they think anything like that. I mean, I'm talking 8, 10 weeks ago, right? I'm talking about recently. That's how much they feel about him, including his $4 million, five, whatever you make it a year, right? Like, they felt really strongly about him even through the troubles last year. They didn't cut him. He worked it out. He was fine. They hugged it out. And then the scandal happens. That doesn't change his kicking. You know what I mean? For me. And I know the way they think out there when they, whatever criminal element you think is out there, they don't care about that. They just don't. I mean, the Ben Cleveland thing would tell you. So they're not thinking like scandal. Oh, Justin will have some women that'll be booing him. And what now? Or is he going to win a game in Kansas City next January? And is this kid we're going to draft from Purdue going to be the guy? I'll be shocked. That's all I'm going to say. At this point, roll the
You'll
dice.
be
If you
shocked if they
need,
move on with from him?
no, I'll be shocked if no. I'll be
Oh,
shocked if
okay.
they draft a kicker.
Gotcha.
I think they're going to keep him, and
Okay.
for all the reasons I've given, and he'll kick in the league again. I don't know that they're really done with him. I think if they wanted to be done with him, they've had 8, 10 weeks to be done with him.
Well, but I keep, they're still going to think about it in football terms, though. Even if they've made up their mind that they were done with him, they're not going to tip their hand. The fact that you now, 2 months later or 3 months later, I mean, you were convinced he was gone, and the fact that you're not convinced now, that's what they wanted from a strategic football draft
Sure,
standpoint, right?
sure.
So that's where I've said when they didn't cut him initially, I'm not shocked to see this play out that way. But you might be right. They might keep him. He might be kicking for
Oh,
them.
I think they think
However,
he's
I will
still a
say,
fine kicker and a guy they want to win that
but I
you
will also.
win nasty, late, cold road games with, and there aren't a whole lot of them in the history of the
Sure.
league. And John's had a couple of good ones, had a good one in Philadelphia 15 years ago. And going to sleep without that after the Billy Cundiff thing, they all live through Billy Cundiff, so I just and the Vedvik kid and whatever guys that can't do it. Justin Tucker can do it.
He can, but he didn't do it last year for a good chunk of the season. So whatever that was, whether there was a physical issue, whether there was, I don't know. Was there some chatter at some point through channels that he knew that people were sniffing around about his past? I don't know, but he didn't
Well, the
perform.
Banner people would tell me they were not sniffing around about
Yeah,
him in the
sure.
fall, and they haven't lied. Why would they lie to
Or
me?
was there something else going on? And I mean, who knows? I mean, was there something else going on in his personal life? In the way that that can happen for any player, I can tell you, I'm not going to name names, but I know that there have been players in the past. I'm not saying Justin Tucker, but players generally speaking, that we're dealing with relationship issues, issues with
Family? Yeah.
parental things like that, that absolutely impacted their play on the field, even prominent players for the Ravens. So I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm just saying what was causing his issues. And now it's like you throw all of this into that mix. If there was something going on, what impact does that have on him as a player, regardless of how you or anyone else feels about it? Yeah, they are going to think about it in terms of whether he's going to help them win football games or
They're
not.
not thinking about it from PR. They're not.
I mean, you are, but
If you cared about
it's
PR,
not
you wouldn't
necessarily.
have Chad Steele out in front of it.
I mean,
You know what I mean? Just in a
it's not
general
always
sense.
driving the bus. Sometimes it does, right? I mean, if a player does something that they're caught
Dude,
red-handed
they
and there's
burned Ray
video of
Rice
it,
jerseys 12 years ago, and
but only
everybody's
after
back.
the video came out
And
and they couldn't
right,
hide
and
from
he's
it.
coaching at Milford. Life goes on. Life will go on for Justin Tucker and whatever the awfulness is. He's not going to jail. He's not getting charged with anything. Like any of that. I just think that they can wink and let him kick if they want. If they want him to be their kicker, and we're going to find out. Last thing for you, they played a baseball game on Thursday night, and the
They
Orioles won.
did.
I don't want to short shrift that. So let's give at least 2 minutes to a 2-1 victory.
Great to see Cade Povich pitch the way that he did. I mean, a shame he didn't get through 7 innings. He deserved it. His defense let him down in that spot. But
We talked a lot about defense the other day.
yeah, but he pitched very well. It was good. He missed some bats, got some strikeouts, and hats off to the bullpen. Cano comes in, gets an out. Soto comes in the eighth inning, much to the chagrin of, I saw at least a few Orioles fans on social media as I was
You
monitoring
do
the
know it's a
draft.
close game, right?
But he pitched a scoreless inning, and then Batista, who, would have had his cleanest inning to date had he fielded his position a little bit better, but gets the job done. It's great to see. Hey, I'm not sitting here saying a 2-1 victory is all that, cures all that
No, I
ails
just
them.
bitch about them not hitting the
But
ball enough. That's your new role.
yeah, well, they didn't. They barely hit the ball enough. They did just well enough. Is 2 runs going to get
And
it
kick
done
the
most
ball
nights?
around and still won.
Sure. They
Now they got to go to
did.
Detroit and they're getting three big pitchers this weekend.
They are, but it was good to see them do just enough against Mackenzie Gore, who had been really, really good for the Nats. So we're going to see. I mean, on paper, doesn't look like a very favorable weekend. Charlie Morton's going to make another start. So, it sounds like Gibson, not quite ready. I did hear, I heard some scuttlebutt that Gibson in his last minor league start, his back was a little bit sore. I'm not saying he's injured, let me be clear, but that might be, hey, give him one more start. We're going to see if Charlie Morton can show any signs of a pulse.
What about the
And
kid with
then
the great hair? What about him?
Brendan Young, he's going to start Friday night.
All right.
Yeah, he's back because,
He's
they
my new
optioned it.
favorite guy because he's got my hair. I mean, Dean Kramer's been bunning it up like mine is right now, too. And I don't trust Dean Kramer. We've been through this. I love
I
Dean
know you
Kramer,
don't.
but I don't trust Dean Kramer. So.
I'd like to see, can we get back to the Dean Kramer that you still didn't trust, but was at least a league average
Yeah,
starter?
just give me
You
six
know?
innings and four
At
runs.
least
Do
be a
something
league
for
average
me.
starter, three runs over 6 innings,
Yeah.
4-5 ERA. I'd take that right now. I mean, a little bit of that for the Orioles would go a longer way for them, even though they still have to start swinging the bats. So nice win, nice not to get swept. At this point, as bad as they've been, any win feels bigger than it actually is. So we'll see how they do in Detroit over the weekend. Certainly not going to be easy going up against Tarek Skubal and company.
Anybody wants to move to the criminal life, you should have moved to Green Bay on Thursday night. It feels like nobody was home. It feels like literally the entire state of Wisconsin, you could have gone and taken every house, every dog, anything, all the jewelry. It looked like the entire state of Wisconsin was there on Thursday night. It's crazy.
The funniest part to me was, what were the people inside Lambeau
How
Field
do you
doing?
pee? Well,
Right?
all I
No,
was saying was, how do you pee? Where it looked like an US festival. It was crazy how many people were there.
But like the massive humanity outside the stadium. Yes, totally. But there were people inside the stadium sitting on the bleachers. Like, what were they doing? Were they just watching the draft on the video board? Because to
Because they could pee there.
True.
Dude, if I all I could think about is if I'm there, where would I be and why would I be there?
It's like Times Square on New Year's Eve, right? I
My
mean,
dude
what are you doing?
Rosenfeld went to Detroit last year and he's like, I've never seen that many people in one, like ever in my life. And I don't get the allure.
I
Like,
don't
I mean,
either.
I was on the
You.
floor at the Fell Forum when John Ogden got drafted. I went to one draft and this thing's crazy. And I almost just want to bring back the idiot Jets fans. I enjoyed them at the Fell Forum back in the day. But like now they have idiot fans for everything and they ship them in and they put them in a little hole and they all wear pig snouts and they all yell and they all act like the guard from Missouri is the greatest thing that's ever happened to their. It is the. You want to hug me? Go take a minute and a half. Get me pick you up in the air. I'm going to spin you around. I mean, it's goofy. I mean, I came home in the middle. I came home like pick 12, pick 13 because I was a cop in state. I came home and I start watching and I'm just pissing myself laughing. I'm elbowing my wife. I'm like, this is like a comedy show. And I'm watching Mel, by the way. I watch ESPN.
I will say this, the coolest part of it, however, was when the Packers finally drafted a wide receiver in the first round, and the pop, you would have thought the Packers just won the Super Bowl. They went nuts. I mean, Matthew Golden is their new favorite player in Green Bay
Watching
after.
these guys in these velour suits walk down that
Oh,
thing and try to
it's
look tough
hilarious.
and try to they're trying to like look tough. They're
Shake
trying to
Roger
like,
Goodell like a rag doll, hugging him. I
yeah, I
mean,
mean,
it's hilarious.
it's
It's so much
hilarious.
shtick. I mean, it's pro wrestling. I mean, it
It
really
is
is.
absolutely pro wrestling. It's walking to the ring. It's Jesus. All right, we got the whole weekend of this. Maybe they pick a kicker. Maybe they don't. Luke will be monitoring it. If you're on the WNST text service, you'll get it first. Brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to it. I have the Back to the Future scratch offs. I got to get up with Marcel and make sure we're doing this crab melt thing. I think we are on Wednesday. So come on out. The Orioles are playing the Yankees as well. Hopefully win some games this weekend, get back on track. Luke, have a great weekend. I'll be monitoring. We'll be out at Baltimore Positive. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.